Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Okay, well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. That's right. Tonight's broadcast, we're going to extend it a little bit. Those of you all can stay with us. We encourage you to do so. Because of a very popular topic last night, we're extending the show to include that. We do have a featured guest this evening. We're just waiting on him to press one, so that we can bring him into the studio once he presses one on his dial, which he has done so now. Mr. S. Thompson is going to be our featured guest for the evening, and I'm going to go ahead and bring him in at this point and let him tell you a little bit about yourself. Mr. Thompson, you're live on your half-hour inspirational programming, which is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. This is an inspirational broadcast that we've decided to do that instead of it being so formal, it's going to be an informal setting where we do more in terms of information and education from the spiritual and practical perspectives. And so why don't you tell for our guests that's going to be listening worldwide, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself and how you come to be an expert perhaps on this topic of how important is belief coupled with the meaning of free will. Mr. Thompson, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. It's a pleasure being on the show. Like I said, my name is Thompson. I'm a retired administrator in Miami-Dade County, enjoying my retirement immensely. And I have, been an entrepreneur for many years and just enjoying life and the spiritual blessings that the Lord has blessed me upon me to live and move forward, spread his word, and to do his will on earth as it is in heaven. So it's just enjoyable to be on the show and work toward a mutual agreement with people and discuss and have open topics as we move forward in these days, last days and times.
Okay. Having shared that with us, we're going to go ahead and on our Friday night show, we usually begin with prayer. We're going to ask all those that are listening that we bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And now as we prepare to go into a study of your word and some interpretation from various views, we ask that you would lead, guide, direct, and order our steps. These and other blessings help us that when we come out of this, that we would have been better for it because our knowledge has been enhanced or enriched, or our ponderance thereof is inquisitive enough that we want to go and get more. We want to thirst for your word as we thirst for you. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mr. Thompson, it is, when we talk about belief, let's start out by that. And then I'm going to go to a story shortly that we did last night. And this also is a continuation from last night's show. We didn't even get a chance to finish that show. And there were so many people that we didn't even get a chance to get in, entertain their calls. But, you know, we want to start out tonight with the importance of belief. How important is it to believe? I mean, what does that mean, to believe something? I mean, somebody tells a lie. And people can be convincing when they tell a lie enough that you believe them. So that belief system, that can be a powerful tool. What is it?
Well, belief is powerful. It's a strong word. For example, you know, I believe we're talking on the Dr. Jesse Walker show. I believe see that beautiful Mercedes-Benz car in the parking lot. You know, I believe that I'm alive and well at this point in time. You know, belief is a word that, in a sense, you feel that it's coming true, that you see it, that it's something that's there and it's happening. It's a visual that you can feel it or see it. You know, I believe I got a nice bottle of water at my bedside. I can say I believe it because I see it. It's a visual.
Okay.
So, you know, that you visualize your belief. You know, you can see it. You know, I believe there's a jaguar sitting around the corner over there at my friend's residence house. I believe it because I see it. I see the jaguar.
Okay.
You know, so those are kind of the things about belief. The visual, you can see it. You know.
Okay, so what about the people who, so would you say then that if you don't see it, you know, why believe it? If somebody's telling you, oh, well, yeah, I'm rich. I have a bank account that has over $250,000 in it. And I mean, I'm just, you know, I work only because I'm trying to hide from the government. I mean, what would make you skeptical about that person, if anything, and what would make you fully believe them? You'd have to see
I wouldn't believe them. I wouldn't believe it.
You
just said you had it. I don't believe it. You ain't showing me no, you ain't brought out no dollar signs, and you ain't brought nothing tangible, visible. I don't see in you in a $1 million, quarter million, $500,000 house. I don't believe it. You know, you're probably lying. You just talking the talk. I don't believe you got that money. You ain't showing me no bank account to see showing big figures. I don't believe it, Dr. Walker.
Well, Mr. Thompson, then they're telling you they're saying if I show you my money, you might rob me. You might get a group of guys to rob me. So why should I show you my money? You just got to believe what I tell you. Why, you know, and he's not camouflaging, but he's saying, listen, man, I'm telling you, Mr. Thompson, I got the money. You just got to believe me. You know, but if I show you my money, how I know you won't rob me?
Your money's in the bank, you know, secure and safe. I ain't going to rob you. But I sure ain't going to believe you because I know you ain't got it. You're lying to me. You're lying to me. I don't believe you got no money. You don't drive no nice car. You ain't got no nice clothes. You ain't got this or that. Your house looks like it's just a $50,000 house.
Okay. All right, see, and, you know, tonight's show is rather informal because, I mean, we're dealing with not only the spiritual part but the practical part, as Mr. Thompson is saying. Somebody is boasting about what they have, and Mr. Thompson's belief is solely greatly about what you can see. And this person saying all of this here, Mr. Thompson just called them. He said they're lying. They are lying. So, Mr. Thompson, it's important. You're saying it's important to be able to verify something, to be able to believe it before you can to be able to see it before you can actually believe it. Is that?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I got to see it. Yes, you know, this ain't faith. I got to see it. I need a visual.
The poor guy is trying to tell all of his friends that he's got this money in the bank. But yet at the same time, it gets worse, Mr. Thompson. Now he's asking you, he says, look, man, I got this investment thing. My money's in the bank, but I need to borrow $5,000 from you. And I'm going to give you 25% interest on your money in 30 days. That's when my CD matures. Now, come on, does that... What does that make you think more of him now, the same guy?
He's a scam artist. He's doing a rope-a-dope. He's a scam artist. He ain't showed me nothing.
So why is it that some people actually believe people like that and they put out their money, the $5,000 to loan this guy?
Well, some people got the gift of gab, and some people may be showing off a nice car, jewelry, a nice home or something like that, so they assume he got the money. I've seen people lease vehicles, Excaliburs, Mercedes-Benz, very nice cars, and it's a front that they got it. They're only using it for 30 days, so they rented it. They're using it for a couple of weeks. You know, so that makes
right.
you kind of believe. You see somebody with Excalibur or something real nice car, and he's showing
right.
you that's his house over there. That ain't really his house. He's just showing you that his house. He went in it one day, but he went in to see a friend. So,
right.
you know, had something at his friend's house and told you it was his house. Those are good scam
right.
artists, you know, but I don't uh-huh. believe it. You know, show me a contract. Show me a lease.
That is so amazing. And, you know, based on what you're saying, there are a number of people who actually go up to these houses that are really for sale, or there someone owns a house, but just so happens nobody's at the time. I have driven along for years, for over a number of years, more than 25 years. I used to drive along South Miami and North Florida, and from the Miami area along the coast of A1A, and it has some houses there. They refer to it sometimes as a millionaire's row of houses. And I would oftentimes see people just stop along the side of the road and take pictures. And you know, it makes it so interesting because I used to pretend myself, and I say, you know, I'm gonna tell people that this is my house. You know, so I'm gonna take a picture. Take a picture of me while I'm standing close enough so that no guard dog will come out, or no, so the police won't be there in a couple of minutes. We got to do it real quickly, you know, so we can get off the premises. And so it just makes a good dream builder, but you're actually, like you're saying, you're lying, you know, to tell somebody mm-hmm. this is my house. And one time I showed a lady, I was a teenager, and I showed a lady, I say, now, you know, my family, what if I told you my family lives in this house? I was trying to keep it where I wasn't going to lie, but I just asked her. She said, well, I would marry you. You know?
Yeah, and I saw a Maserati on the street
uh-huh.
in Coral
right.
Gables, and got somebody to take a picture of me, you know,
right.
so with my hands on it and everything, and showed it to a few people. They said, is this your car? I said, no, it's not my car. I just took a picture by it. But if I wore the scheme, I said, yeah, this is my car, you know, and what have you. I could be at a car dealership and have a Maserati
right.
and go test drive it and get a picture of me
right.
driving it, you know. So there's a lot of ways people right. get schemes. But see, people
absolutely.
Got a visual. They got a visual
uh-huh.
that this is my car. They got a visual. I'm driving the car, you know, and stuff like that. Open up the trunk so they can assume then, since they got this visual.
Right.
And believe
right.
that it's my Maserati.
Right. And so, speaking of that, like you put your hands on that Maserati, you took a picture, and you were truthful. I was driving, I take a lot of road trips, and I was in Naples a few years ago, probably my teenage years as well. And I come across this company, this boat company, and the last name was Walker. So you know that rang a bell with me, right? Last name is Walker. And so I made sure I got out, took a picture, standing up there with a boat where they could see the company name Walker. And you know I had a field day with that, just telling everybody. So I left it to their imagination based on whatever
right.
they wanted to believe.
Yes.
You know, whether or not that was my company or my family company, I just left it to their own imagination, just send them the pictures and let them think whatever yeah. they want to think. So you're right when you talk about this belief system. How important is it to believe? Now, let me ask you, Mr. Thompson, what happens now, and you all can join us, just pressing one on your dial, because tonight we're talking with Mr. Thompson, we're talking about how important is belief, and then we're going to get into part two of the meaning of free will. What about when the Bible tells us that, you know, the doubting Thomases, you know, when you faith is the substance of things hoped for, but evidence of the things not seen. So how do we believe that versus what someone is telling us and we don't believe? How do we believe that? How do we walk by faith and believe that? What's the difference?
Well, when you haven't seen it and someone's telling you it had happened, I saw someone walk on water, but you didn't see it, that protects you getting into faith, that you believing that what this person's saying is true. You didn't see it. It depends on how much confidence or respect you have for that person. You're saying you saw somebody walk on some water, or you saw somebody catch 500 fish, but you didn't see it, but somebody was explaining to you, man, they caught 500 fish. I don't believe that, and I ain't see it. So that brings
right.
on whether you believe that person's word or not, whether you have faith enough in believing that person that is true or not.
Okay. All right. So now I would say that there are none of us who are living today, I would venture to say that actually was back in the biblical times when the Bible was written and when Jesus walked on water. Why should we believe that? Somebody else's account that said that they saw him walk on water. Why should we believe that?
Well, you believe it because it's part of your system that you read something that's supposed to be, you know, historic thousands of years ago. You're actually dealing with going into faith. You know, I have faith that what I'm reading and what I read and what I was told is true. So
uh-huh.
You haven't seen it. You know, you haven't seen it. And it also depends on where this word is coming from, where this talk is coming from. Just like I can tell somebody, man, that's my house over there. It's going to be built beautiful. It's on 5 acres. It's got 7 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, a basketball court in the back, a tennis court in the back. You know, I got animals running around. You know, I'm bringing up this beautiful picture of this house, you know, telling a couple people, and they're looking at me like, do you really have this house? Or is this real? Or when are we going to see this house? You know, well,
uh-huh.
I'm just painting you a picture. And it's ordering
right.
you whether you have the belief and faith that what I'm saying is true. You know, so these things have been talked about from 1,000 years ago. It's a matter of whether you have the faith of something that you haven't seen to feel that is whether it's true or not. You know, whether you believe and your faith is strong enough, and faith that's a strong situation also. You know,
yeah,
I believe my wife is going to be true to me. You know,
uh-huh.
You saying I believe it, but then you gotta have faith that's gonna be true.
Right. Right. So okay, we're gonna go to the phone lines, Mr. Thompson. We're gonna ask you to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's begin by bringing in the South Florida number 305-769. You're live on your Half Hour Inspirational Programming. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Good evening. This is Ms. Augustine.
Ms. Augustine, thanks for joining us tonight. Ms. Augustine, what are your thoughts, Ms. Augustine, on this belief system?
For me, when it comes to people, whatever they want to tell me, if that's what they want me to believe, then I let them think that's what I believe. It doesn't matter
wow.
to me what they have or they don't have or what they do or they don't do. It's their life and has nothing to do with me. But when it comes to God and the Bible, if it's God's word and it's God come out of the Bible, I believe it because I have faith and I have trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe God. I don't believe man.
Right. So we're going to actually stand by Ms. Augustine, and we're going to go to 352-560 in a moment. But, Mr. Thompson, let me bring you back in and ask you this question. Why, I mean, this is just, I don't mean any disrespect to the Bible, of course, when I say this, or to the Word of God. But why should we believe the Bible when there are so many different interpretations of the Bible, and the Bible has been used throughout the history of it to control other people, You know, so why should we believe that? Why should we believe the Bible? There's so many interpretations, and it's been throughout history that it's been used to control, to manipulate.
It's a personal choice, okay? Number one, it's a personal choice, all right? And we all have a personal choice what we believe in. And saying that it's a personal choice, whoever you're dealing with or whatever the situation is, you choose whether or not you want to believe in something that's 2,000-something years old. You choose to believe that somebody's telling you that they're going to come and pick you up from your house at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, and maybe they don't pick you up. So it's a personal choice. Why should we believe it? It's a personal choice. You know, based on your background experience and how you was reared in life and how you was reared makes a big difference on how you make decisions with your personal choice and what you believe in, you know. So in your experience with God. Some people, I've had fantastic experience with our Father who art in heaven. It's been beautiful. So that makes me have belief and faith, all right? Your experiences are powerful, and what you have experienced, good or bad, makes you make the choices of your belief. And some people had maybe bad experience or this experience, that experience, and that calculates their belief system, their faith system, and what they choose to say or do, and empowers them to make their decisions on what they believe in and have faith in. So your experiences are very, very important. Like I said, I've had good, bad, and indifferent, but I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost based on my great experience and things that's happened to me in my life.
Okay. So, Ms. Thompson, with this generation that we're dealing with now, where it's almost like there's an absence of God in this younger generation, they don't seem to have any fear, no respect. They don't seem to have any of the morals that I recall growing up with. So, I mean, how do you even get them to think about believing anything or having some type of developmental belief system when their parents, I mean, their parents need a parent.
Yeah. It's challenging because they weren't raised or taught right. They don't understand, and they do what they want to do, and they're going to feel and think the way they want to think. And that causes a problem. They haven't had any experiences. You know, all they do is free love, free will, do what you want to do, have a good time, you know, work a couple of days, a year, then leave, go somewhere else. There's no experience for them to base their belief system on. They, you know, good or bad or indifferent, they don't have the experience. So it's more challenge for them. And based on how they was reared is very important. They haven't had the experience. That would be my take on it.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Augustine, we're going to bring you back in just a moment, but let me go to this other phone line. Let's go to 352-560. You're live on your Half Hour Inspiration program. And who do we have with us? And welcome.
Hi, everyone. This is Liz.
Liz, thank you for joining us. Liz, what are your thoughts on this, Liz? I mean, we're talking about belief systems, and I mean, you know, there comes a point in time where you don't know what to believe. You know, even with the foods that we eat, they once told us that you need to eat 3 meals a day, your starches, your vegetables, your fruit, whatever it is, and then they're saying your starches now turn into sugar, and this is not healthy for you, but then they're talking about natural sugars, which is the fructose. So what do we believe? And who do we believe?
Well, I say we believe God as far as who. And he says in James 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. the devils also believe and tremble. But verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So also we have where the Lord, he told one of the disciples, Doubting Thomas, he said that Thomas said, I won't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and unless I see his hands, you know, see it for himself, so to speak. And Jesus came and let him see, and he said, Thomas, you believe because you see, but more blessed are those who haven't seen and believe. They're more blessed because they haven't seen me, but yet they believe. So, you know, God has put all the trees and the solar system, the sun, and all the different things out here to show that he is existing. But people may choose not to believe it. They may choose to believe the Big Bang Theory, the Darwin and evolution. They have that choice. But just because they don't believe don't mean they right.
Okay. So, Liz, let me ask you a question. I mean, here it is. I want to ask this question, and I will ask, we'll bring Mr. Thomas back in and ask him also. And that question becomes, are you telling me that, I mean, there's only really one area of the Bible, to my understanding, that God wrote, but the rest of the Bible wasn't. We're told that it was inspired by God, and that only area that God wrote was the Ten Commandments, but all the other areas were the inspiration of God. They were written with the inspiration of God. So,
right.
I mean, have you ever felt like you? Like you've written poetry before, and I know that for a fact. And you, something inspired you to write that poetry. So how do we know that these men, and they often say there was men who wrote it, 40 men that wrote the Bible.
Right.
How do we know that they weren't just inspired by within themselves to write something? And I know we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that gives accounts of Jesus being on the earth and similar accounts. So how do we know that these inspired word that they say the inspired word of God is not man's own inspiration to orchestrate something to control the masses? And Mr. Thomas, we're going to bring you in a moment after she responds to that, and then we're going to go to Ms. Augustine Saint as well. Liz, go ahead.
Let me just say a Bible verse right quick. Hebrews 11:6. About believe, you was talking about believe, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. Now people believe in Buddha, they believe in you know, the Muslim guy, what's his name,
Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah, they believe in, you know, all kind of, you know, different gods. I think they say in India they have 300 and some gods, the holy cow, and they won't eat the meat.
Buddhist, Hinduism. Yeah, I had to study the major religions of the world. I had to study those. But go ahead, I'm with you.
Dalai Lama, you know. So Jim Jones, you know, people believe in all kind of different people and gods and stuff, but that doesn't make it true. God has put in every one of us a conscience to know good and bad. Even people who live in the third world countries and trees and never heard of Jesus or God or a church, they have a conscience that God has put in every one of us to know right from wrong, to know you shouldn't kill your fellow man, to know you should help your fellow man. But some people, they harden their heart. So you can believe, and whatever, you can believe that rock is your God. You know, back in the day, they believed these stones, you know, gods that were made out of stones was their gods, and sacrificed their children. You can believe in whatever foolishness you want to believe in, but God has put it in you, and if you want to deny that, you can. You can go straight to hell just where you're going to go if you don't believe in God and accept his son. So you have a choice, but just because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because you say there's no God don't mean that God doesn't exist.
Wow. So let me ask you this here. So that belief system is very important, and what you're telling me is you're not really – I didn't hear you answer the question of out there that how do we know that this wasn't an inspired man?
They have 66 books that was written over a course of, I think, 1,500 years with 66 different just about authors who didn't even know each other, and it's still the greatest and best-selling book on the bestsellers list. How are you going to get 15 different authors who didn't even know each other to put together a book, and they never heard of each other?
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Liz. Mr. Thompson, let's bring you in and see what we can get here. You know, how do we know that these men didn't inspire themselves and corroborate some of this stuff to control the masses of people? Like the Willie, are you familiar with the Willie Lynch letter?
Yes.
Right. How do we know that this didn't take place and then they upgraded it, you know, and throughout?
Look here. We don't know unless you was there. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know unless you was there or unless you experienced it. What you're going on, whether or not your belief factor and you believe that what was done years, thousand years ago, what was done, whether it's 1 year ago, that you believe that it was true. You use your faith instinct that was instilled in you by God, Jehovah, Ancient of Days, that it's been instilled in you, like the lady said, long ago. Okay, long, long ago. And it comes out where you say, I believe it. Have mercy. You know, it's there. So you have that choice to believe it or not. If it comes out,
right,
hear the word, is your choice. And that's what happened. In the beginning, we had that free will to do what we wanted to do. Good, bad, or indifferent, we had a free will of choice. And believe it or not, that was some of the things going on in heaven, you know, with Lucifer. That was one of his problems, you know. But we have that choice and free will, and we will always have it to choose what we want to do. Just like, I want to kill this guy over here. I'm going to kill him. And you kill him. He's dead. You know, that was your choice to do that. So we have that free will to choose and do what we want to do, Mr. Walker.
Okay, so have you all, Mr. Thompson, I got to ask you this question. Have you ever heard of the Sentinelese people? Sentinelese people?
No, I don't think I've heard
okay,
of that.
Okay, it's supposed to be a banned island in North Sentinel. It's a banned island, the North Sentinel Island. And this is where a group of, they happen to be black people that really are dissociated from society. And if you go over there, no matter who it is, there was a reporter from the United States, my understanding was, that went over there and called themselves wanting to bring some form of organizational civilization to the tribe. And this person happened to be a missionary, and they went by faith. They say they left their home church, and they say, I'm going by faith that God is going to protect me And I'm going to go over here. I'm going to be one of the first people that's ever done this. Nobody has ever done that before and come back alive. And he said that I'm going to have so much faith. I'm going to believe that God is going to deliver me. And I'm going to go as this missionary, and I'm going to come back and tell you all. No, he did go, but he did not come back. They killed him. And so, I mean, these are the Santalese people, and so they're usually referred to as the Forgotten Tribe. And you can go to YouTube and take a look at it, and you'll be amazed at what, when we talk about a belief system, you'll be amazed. But when somebody can come in and tell you and influence your what you believe or what you thought you believed, even subliminally, they can get to you. We're going to actually stand by, Mr. Thomas. I do want to go and bring in Ms. Augustine. Ms. Augustine, thanks for your patience. Come on and chime in, Ms. Augustine.
I have two sons. One is 46 today and one is 49. And I raised them to believe in God and believe in the Bible. And due to the computer that they can go on and do all the research that they want to do, they have learned so much on the computer that they have come back to me and tried to convince me that the Bible is a book that was written by man to control man.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they choose to believe, even though they were trained to believe something else. That's their choice. But I believe in the Bible, because how can you explain so many stories in the Bible that almost say the same thing? And these men did not meet each other. They did not know each other. You know, I believe God was the one who guided them in what to write. So I choose to believe the Bible, and it's my choice to believe.
Okay, so with that, let me just ask you, and see, this is what Friday night programming is about. It's about education, informative stuff, that we can go out and start doing some research for ourselves, because we're going to address the spiritual and the practical, and it's up to the individual to believe, as Mr. Thompson is saying. It's up to you as to what you want to believe or what you choose to believe. And so I got to bring this in, and let me start with you, Ms. Augustine, and ask this question. Then why are there so many different denominations? You know, God being a God of order, why are there so many different denominations and so many different interpretations? And if you start to look at developing countries, which we often refer to as third world countries, but now the new lingua is developing countries, then why is there still darkness out there in 2020?
This is all called by man, not by God. And it is what, if you, in the book of Revelation, it said this is going to happen. There will be so many different gods and so many different belief systems. I believe, and it's my belief, nobody else, that people and man broke off from each religion. When they created one religion, then that particular religion wasn't happy with what they was doing, and that group, and then another group developed another religion, and they started another. Now, how I know that's for true, because I was a part of a church, and my sister was a part of the church with me, and because the church would not allow her to do what she wanted to do in that church, she left that church and created her own church. So I believe all these different religions and all these different denominations is done by man. It's not done by God. But if people choose to want to believe and follow whichever one they choose to believe, then that's their choice. But then I choose to believe what I choose to believe.
Okay. Mr. Thompson, let me bring you in and ask you, do you think our belief systems have a great deal to do perhaps with where we were born and raised, as you said earlier, where we were reared, where a person is reared?
Yes, it does, because if you was out west, the Midwest, you know, Idaho or Utah, you'd probably be a Mormon. You know, Mormons
okay.
run Utah. And
right.
it does, you know, based on your parents and through slavery, you know, we came of being Baptist. And religion, it's about, I had a book one time, I saw 200 religions in this book. 200.
Right.
It's 15 years ago I saw this. And some religions are spin off through people getting upset. And, you know, like the Baptist
right.
probably got 45 because people get pissed off and they have a certain belief system. And that particular church not doing it, so they spin off and start their own. Many religions have started like that, and then you have a few religions that have a prophet. You know, there's a few religions have a prophet, and it started from that prophet who is known as one who speaks for God. So, you know, it's man made these religions. Now, let's not get it twisted.
Yes.
God is not a religion.
No.
Religion is not a savior. It's a belief. It's a faith. You know, it's Christianity. That's it, and it's not a religion. So religion ain't gonna save you, and some religions gonna take you straight to hell. Watch out.
Oh.
Okay, come on.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Come on.
Preach.
So, okay, I gotta ask you all this question. Let's start with Liz. Liz, and then I'm gonna also chip in and give you my thoughts. On this question too, and the question is going to be, what makes you believe in God? And if you all perhaps don't mind, I'll start it off. I'm going to say, what makes me believe in God? Not just the Bible, which I believe to be the inspired word of God, and I do believe that wholeheartedly. I do. But aside from that. Even if there was any reservation or doubt or hesitation, I would have to say what makes me a believer, a true bona fide believer, is I know that nothing that looks like me, that may come in different races, genders, or the like, is that powerful that they could put a sun out there 93 million miles away and put it, align it so perfectly that it won't even scorch us on this planet. I further believe that there's something so powerful, so supernatural, that orchestrated a moon, which is 240,000 miles away from us, that gives us beautiful, romantic night lighting, even at night with galaxies and stars and constellations. And I believe that there is something so great that it keeps the centrifugal force from all of this cosmos from colliding into each other, the asteroids and all of this stuff, because it's so organized. And I believe there is something so powerful that causes the Earth to rotate on its axis, 365 days or 366 days a year with the leap year, which we have this year, that we don't even know that we're moving at an incredible speed, and yet we're not falling off or we're not feeling dizzy like it was when we used to go on a merry-go-round. I know you all familiar with that. So I further believe that it's something so powerful that it gives us oxygen on this planet, and then it has so much creation. When I've seen the mountains, the trees, the ocean, the rivers, the streams, all various types of animals, and I say, okay, there's no way somebody can be in a lab scientifically and do this stuff. That's just me now. And so now let's go to Liz, and then Ms. Augustine, and then Mr. Thompson, we'll go to you. Liz, what makes you believe? What makes you a believer? If you didn't just have the Bible, what would make you a believer?
Well, first, I grew up with my mother and grandmother and uncle, who are all believers in church. And I had an experience myself where I was home alone, just me and my little four-legged baby, and someone called my name. And I'm thinking, someone's calling my name, but there's nobody here but me and my four-legged baby who doesn't talk. So I'm looking around, and I'm in my bedroom, and there's nobody in here. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm hearing things. But then he called my name again. And I'm like, and it's like it came through the roof, through the ceiling. And I know only one who live above is God in heaven. So, and Jesus, so he said it so, you know, real, and I couldn't deny it. And I he let me know what was going to happen in my life. And I still to this day, it was audible for me. I know for some people they don't hear them audible, but at that time it was audible, and it was living proof. I couldn't deny him. He called my name, and there was no loudspeaker, no one there but him, just me and him. And he called my name and let me know he was real.
Did he require anything of you? Have you been asking for him?
No, I had been reading the Bible and, you know, studying the Bible, you know, like I like to read the Bible. It's my favorite book. But I was in a bad situation, and he let me know that he was going to bring me out of the bad situation that I was in. And it was shocking. It was kind of scary, too, because I had never heard, you know, no one called my name from the ceiling, from the roof, from, you know, out of space, whatever. It was very shocking, but it couldn't have been nobody else. It couldn't have been nobody else.
Did he bring you out of that bad situation?
Oh, yes, he brought me out of the bad situation, yes. I was in poverty, and he brought me out, blessed me with a house, and he blessed me with a car, and he blessed me with so much, you know. And I was on the bottom, and he picked me up and put me on the top.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Augustine, and we're running out of time because I want to make sure that Mr. Thompson gets sufficient time. Ms. Augustine, what makes you a believer?
Well, I had a situation similar to Ms. Liz. I was very ill. There was nobody here with me. My mother had passed. My brother had passed. And I was very sick, and I was all by myself. And I knew I was sick, but I was by myself. But looked like somebody picked me up and rocked me all through the night because I didn't think I was going to make it. You ever been so sick that you can't speak? So sick and so tired that you can't talk? So sick that you can't even say the word Jesus? That's how I was. But somebody rocked me, and I felt it all night. And I was thinking in my head, Lord, if I could just make it into the morning, I'll be all right. I made it into the morning, and when I got up, I was better. But when I looked around, I swear somebody was here. There was nobody here. I got up, searched the house, checked the doors, checked the alarm, checked everything. Everything was closed. I came back and lay down, and there just like there was a present in my home, and it said, you're going to be all right. I trust God.
Praise the Lord.
And I believe in him.
All right. Mr. Thompson, let's come to you. What makes you a believer?
What makes me a believer is the experience I personally had. You know, things I've read, things the Lord has inspired in me. For example, you know, a lot of people get a death sentence if they feel they got cancer or certain diseases. I've seen in the Bible that God gives us the things we should eat. And I know vegetables and fruits have certain things that can heal. Those vegetables and fruits healed me of cancer. I mean, where people might say, hey, you don't have to do chemo and stuff like that. No. God has fruits and berries and stuff that will heal us in time to cure us. That's a powerful God. That's an experience. A lot of people have experienced some of that. So everybody has different experience, I've heard, and these things that will be with you forever. I ain't going to ever forget that. Never, never, never. You know, and it's just, you know, everybody has different experience. That's just one of my major experiences that, you know, gave me more belief and faith in my Father who art in heaven. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right. And see, that's a powerful thing. Belief is something that, to me, is so powerful that no matter what, you know, you when you have your faith and you have your belief, you should never let anything, this is just my opinion, my humble opinion, come between you and your belief, because that is what can give you, it's almost like having that hope. That's what can get you to that next level. That's what can get you through that next chapter. And so I want to even ask this question of all of us, and we're running out of time. We've got about 7 minutes. And I want to begin to ask this question. You know, now we're going to just introduce a little bit of free will, and we're going to probably continue with this one here next Friday night. And I want to begin to ask this question because there's two things. One, the word religion is not even mentioned in the Bible, in the 66 books. And
no.
Then I want to ask this question about free will. You know, oftentimes I thought growing up that in the Bible it said that God gave us free will. That's not even in the Bible. Mr. Thompson, let's start with you. Free will. Where do we get the notion that God gave us free will? Where did that come from? And what is free will, in your opinion?
Well, man brings on these words and so forth of free will. Man brings on a lot of that. And, you know, God gave us a choice to do right or wrong. That's my understanding. We got a choice. So some people may interpret that choice, or we have the will to do to choose him or not. He didn't force us to do it. He gave us a choice. Believe it on me or not. So, you know, free will, the will to make a choice on your own, and you making the choice to do what you choose to do. You know, that's a free will to do what you want to do or choose which way you want to head down the road, good, evil, bad, or indifferent. You know, you have a choice whether I want to kill this man or not. You know, you have a choice to take somebody's life and pull them out of the street, you know, to save a life. That's a choice. You don't have
right.
to, but you now have an opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Ms. Augustine, let's bring you in. What is free will? And I'm going to give you my thought. I tend to agree with Mr. Thompson. And I think that if there is an inference that because we have these choices, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. He said, of all the trees, well, actually, that was, to me, that was a command. Of all the trees, you can eat of the Garden of Eden, except this one. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So, I mean, was that a command? He told them, don't eat of that tree. Was that a command, Mr. Thompson?
Yes, he told them not to. He didn't say
right.
you had a choice. He told them
right.
not to eat of this fruit.
That was
die.
A command, right?
Yeah, that wasn't a choice. That was a command. Do not eat
that
of this
fruit. That was a command.
Period. Or you would
right.
just surely die. Period.
Right. So there was a command. Don't do that. You got all of these other ones. But don't touch that. He didn't just say don't eat of it. He said, don't touch it.
Right.
And so they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And so, Ms. Augustine, let's bring you in. So where does the free will come in, or is it really the choice? And is that an inference that we have free will based on our choice?
Well, she choose to eat of the fruit? And that was her will to eat it. But God gave her a command not to.
Will, free will.
She got manipulated. She got manipulated.
So was it her fault then? Was it her fault?
Yes.
Was it her fault?
Yes.
Yes.
Because she exercised the wrong choice?
Yes, she did.
Liz, let's bring you in. Liz, let's bring you in. I mean, so why do we have this, and Mr. Thompson said that man brings on these terms, you know, the free will, and then somebody else, now all, you know, a lot of us start to adopt this, oh, that God gave us free will. But it doesn't say that in the Bible. He gave us a choice.
Right. He gives us a choice, which is freedom in itself. You have a choice. Choose red or blue or green or black, whatever. That having a choice is freedom, you know.
Well, but did he really give them a choice at that tree? He gave them a command. Gave them a command. He said, the choices are, you got all these other ones out here. But he said, don't touch that one. That wasn't there was no real choice in that one. You got kids.
Right.
And he said, listen, I'm going to leave here today, but that's my food that in that paper bag there in the refrigerator. I eat that.
Right.
Touch it. Don't bother with it. And then you come home and you discover that one of the children that ate your, you know, that thing that you seasoned just for you when you already prepared something for them. I mean, come on. Somebody help me with this.
Right, yeah, because
that
they have
command.
All the other
That wasn't
stuff
a choice. They had their food. They had all this other stuff. So where's the free will in that?
They have all the other things that they can choose from, like Adam and Eve. They had all the other trees that they can choose from. So you're right, that was a command, and they had a choice of all these other trees, but they didn't choose the other trees that they were allowed to. And like the other gentleman was saying, that she was manipulated. The Bible says she was beguiled by the serpent who fooled her. So,
well, everybody blamed somebody, because Adam blamed her, and she blamed the serpent.
Right.
But nobody wanted to take responsibility.
No,
Adam
not
even said.
Serpent.
Adam even said the woman blame you. He
serpent.
Even blamed God. He said the woman you gave me.
Right,
Mr. Thompson.
Yes, we want to play the blame game.
What do you think about that when Adam blamed the woman? I mean, he had never seen anything look so beautiful in his life. You know, that he even said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But then he wimped out. Was he wimping out when he blamed her like that? And then told God, it was the woman you gave me. I didn't ask for that woman. You gave me that woman.
I can't say he's necessarily wimping out, but he was scared. He gave and said, "Hey, you gave me this woman. She gave me the unforbidden fruit, you know." And so the Lord said not to eat of that fruit, or you would surely die. He said, "If you do this, you're gonna die. If you choose to eat this forbidden fruit from this tree, you shall surely die." That was the consequences that he gave to them, you know. So they chose to eat of it.
So let me ask you all this before we got about 60 seconds. I got to ask you this here now. So if, the choice was you could either live or you could die. Do you all think that if that was any one of us, Adam or Eve, the males and females, that we would have made a different choice? What do you think? We start with Liz. Liz, would you have made a different choice if you had been Eve? You really don't know. We really can't answer that. Or can we? Can we?
Well, I think I would obey God because I don't like beatings. I don't like punishment. So I think I would obey because I don't want to get in trouble.
So you're saying that the serpent or the snake could not have beguiled you. You're saying that's what you're telling me.
Yes.
That's what you're
right,
telling me.
Right, because of the consequences. I didn't like the consequences. I don't like
thinking
those.
That Eve wasn't intelligent enough to think along these lines as well? But the serpent may have been so sharp that he may, and like Mr. Thompson said, manipulated her to a point where she had never experienced anything like that before. Hold on.
Well, you know, you have to suffer the consequences, and the Bible say that does not a man sit down and count up the cost
but
before
they had never
he
seen,
was,
right, but they
but,
had never
but you
seen
have to, you have to you have to weigh the balances and see what is the consequence of my actions. For every action there's a reaction. So what's going to be my result?
Science has told us that now. But in the Garden of Eden, it was just the two of them. They had never seen leaves fall from a tree. So they didn't know for sure. So let's go to Miss Augustine. We're going to ask you to stand by because we're out of time, you all. We're going to finish this, pick this up on next week, and I love this, how we do this. Miss Augustine, I mean, was there really free will? Was there really a choice? Live or die. Live or die. That's your choices, right?
My choice would have been to live. I wouldn't want to die, no matter what the – Satan said, no matter what he did, I wouldn't want to suffer the consequences. I would have choose to live.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, are we saying these things now because we know we are experiencing pain, heartache, death? Are we saying that now? Would we have really, you know, could it have been that we would have done the same thing Adam and Eve had done out there? Because and God even knew that they were going to do it, and he knows that we're going to do things. And that's why he had a plan of salvation. So, Mr. Thompson, close us out and bring us home tonight.
That is a hard question to say what I would do. But if I had that experience to have the freedom that they had everything unto them in the Garden of Eden, I'm prayfully hoping that I would have said no. And went home and turned around and went back to the garden. So we do have a lot of choices when we do things, and it's a blessed thing. You can choose to live or die. You can choose to do bad stuff or do good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Help somebody. So that's the choices we have, and we have to be man or woman enough to make the right one.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank you all for joining us this evening. Those of you all that we weren't able to get to, we will please join us back here next week. When the question is going to be, why would God test us with a tree when there are so many other trees? Why would God test us? Mr. Thompson, just quickly, do you think that was a test for Adam and Eve?
Yes.
Well, it was a test. God wanted you to love him, period. Non-negotiable.
Right.
You know, that's what he wants. Unconditionally loves him. So he goes through tests with us.
All right. Next week's show, you all, you will not want to miss. You will not want to miss. You know, God, does God still test us now?
Yes.
Liz, do you think he still tests us?
Every day.
Yes.
Every day I don't kill somebody, I'm being tested. Because this life here, it can make you want to kill somebody, your own family members. Oh, you can. The thoughts do come across your mind, but then you think about the consequences.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Ms. Augustine.
Amen.
Yes.
Ms. Augustine.
God is testing me. He's testing me because I'm going to tell you, I walk by faith. And not by sight. If that's not, that's
not. By
not that's real. That is real. Every step I take is a step of faith.
It's a
not
step
a step
of faith.
Of sight.
And you know, I can't even speak to whether I would have done that. I would have hoped that I would not have. But if I had seen something as gorgeous as Eve, my goodness, and all I saw was animals and all of them had companions and I didn't have anything, and now this woman comes along and I mean, I wake up and I see her, and it's like bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Have mercy. That's all I can say. I don't know what I would have done. So, Mr. Thompson,
you gotta check consequences. Is it worth
it? Yeah, I mean, you just because you don't know. And then, Mr. Thompson, you know, is he still testing us every day, all the time?
Yes, he's testing us. He wants his love for him, unconditionally love for him. Not just part-time, full-time, 100%.
All right. Then we're out of time. Listen, thank you all. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. We're going to continue with some discussions on free will live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show next Thursday. But, of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here live next Friday when the topic is going to be, is God still testing us like he did Adam and Eve? All right, until next Thursday, until next Friday, I say to my listening audience, and Mrs. Thompson, we want to thank you for being our featured guest this evening, and we hope you'll
come
back and join us real soon.
Thank you.
All right, on that note, we're going to say thank you all to my listening audience around the world. Good night. God bless. And thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you all.
God bless.